Today on Enduring Word with David Guzik, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara.
I have to say that it seems to me that David sensed some kind of weakness in Solomon. He says, you know, Solomon, you're a good man. I know you'll be a good king, but there's a weakness there. Be strong. Prove yourself a man. You're going to need strength. You're going to need courage. Solomon, you're going to face challenges, maybe challenges you don't even know about. And be obedient to the Lord. If you stay obedient to the Lord, then you will succeed in your reign.
Solomon was going to face many challenges in his reign. David foresaw this and wanted to instruct him in how to have a good and long reign. In today's message, Pastor David takes note of David's concern for Solomon and how he seemed to sense a weakness in Solomon that would later prove to undermine his reign. It was as if David was saying, just stay true to the Lord and he will bless you and your reign will prosper. We as well need to remember to keep God first in our lives if we desire to prosper spiritually. Now, let's join Pastor David for today's edition of Enduring Word.
Go immediately to King David and say to him, did you not, my lord, O king, swear to your maidservant, saying, assuredly your son Solomon shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king? Then, while you are still talking there with the king, I will come in after you and confirm your words. Now, this shows us something. First of all, it shows us David already had a plan for who was going to be the king after him, right? David had already said, I want Solomon to be the next king, not Adonijah. I know Adonijah is my oldest living son, but we follow the will of God in the kingdom of Israel, not just a chart on who should be the next king of Israel. So David had said, I want Solomon to be the next king. But it also shows how wrong it was for Adonijah to do what he did. Adonijah knew that what he was doing was wrong. That's why he did it in this way. By the way, it also shows us how far out of it David was. I mean, here's David laying cold in bed. He doesn't even know what's going on. He has no clue. Something needs to be done about this situation. And so Nathan says, listen, Bathsheba, you go in and you inform David of this. If you notice, he says something very significant here. He says to Bathsheba in verse 12, that you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. What did Nathan know? Nathan knew that when Adonijah became king, what would be the first thing that he did? The first thing he would do is he would take every other person who might have a claim to the throne of Israel and he would execute them. That was common procedure in that day. That was expected. And so Nathan says, listen, Bathsheba, this isn't just about, you know, a promotion for your son Solomon. This is about your life. And so here it says, listen, this is how it's going to happen. David's will should not be contradicted here. As it says in verse 13, David had said, assuredly your son Solomon shall reign after me and he shall sit on my throne. That was the promise that David made to Bathsheba. You have to say that this is a remarkable display of the grace of God. I mean, have we forgot about this already, who Bathsheba was? I mean, Bathsheba was the woman who came to David in adultery, and then David arranged the murder of her husband. And yet it's the son of David and Bathsheba who will become the king after him. We're amazed at this. There's nothing to say about it other than this is the grace of God, because it's certainly not deserved. And so Nathan said, okay, you go in, explain this to David. David is going to have a hard time believing this, right? David tended to be too easy on his sons, didn't he? He didn't want to believe that anything they did was wrong. And so his immediate reaction, oh no, Bathsheba, this couldn't be the thing. So what was Nathan, David's trusted friend, going to do? While Bathsheba was saying it, Nathan was going to come in and say, David, it's all true. And then maybe David would be convinced that there was a real problem going on. And so this is exactly what they do. We're going to read kind of a long passage here, verses 15 through 27. So Bathsheba went into the chamber to the king. Now the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was serving the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did homage to the king. Then the king said, "What is your wish?" And she said to him, "My lord, you swore by the Lord your God to your maidservant, saying, 'Assuredly, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne.' So now look, Adonijah has become king. And now, my lord the king, you do not know about it. He has sacrificed oxen and fattened cattle and sheep in abundance and has invited all the sons of the king, Abiathar the priest and Joab the commander of the army, but Solomon your servant he has not invited. And as for you, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are on you, that you should tell them who will sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it will happen, when my lord the king rests with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon will be counted as offenders." Then just then, while she was still talking with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. So they told the king, saying, "Here is Nathan the prophet." And when he came in before the king, he bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, "My lord, O king, have you said Adonijah shall reign after me and he shall sit on my throne? For he has gone down today and has sacrificed oxen and fattened cattle and sheep in abundance and has invited all the king's sons and the commanders of the army and Abiathar the priest. And look, they're eating and drinking before him and they say, 'Long live King Adonijah.' But he has not invited me, your servant, nor Zadok the priest, nor Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, nor your servant Solomon. Has this thing been done by my lord the king? And have you not told your servant who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him?" So here, verses 15 through 27, simply the plan of Nathan that we read about in the previous verses, Bathsheba does what she was going to do, Nathan does what he was going to do, they make the plan very plain to David. And here he's a very old man and he learns about this news firsthand. And he gets to know at how great the danger was. I think it's very interesting how he says here, "Has this thing been done by my lord the king and you've not told your servant?" In other words, he says, "David, how could you make a decision to put Adonijah on the throne, but you didn't tell me?" And David's response would naturally be, "Well, listen, I didn't make such a promise. Solomon should be the next king." Look at his response here, verses 28 through 30. "Then King David answered and said, 'Call Bathsheba to me.' So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king took an oath and said, 'As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from every distress, just as I swore to you by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place, so I certainly will do this day.'" So David takes a solemn oath and he says, "Bathsheba, by the living God, I promise you, Solomon is going to be king." It's even more dramatic. Did you see what he says? He says, "Solomon, you should be this king after me." And he said that he would do it this very day. In other words, David said, "I'm not going to wait until I die. I'm not going to say, 'Hey, everybody, Solomon will be king after I die.' No, he gets the throne today while I'm still around to give it to him." So verse 31, "Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and paid homage to the king and said, 'Let my lord King David live forever.' And King David said, 'Call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada.'" You know, you kind of sense David getting some of the fire back in him, right? There's another battle to fight. Right? And David was a fighter. And so he's going to fight this last battle to put Solomon on the throne. So they came before the king. The king also said to them, "Take with you the servants of your lord and have Solomon, my son, ride on my own mule and take him down to Gihon. There let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel and blow the horn and say, 'Long live King Solomon.' Then he shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, and he shall be king in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah." Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, "Amen. May the Lord God of my lord the king say so too. As the Lord has been with my lord the king, even so may he be with Solomon and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David." And so David says, bring in all my, you know, main advisors. Get Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaniah. He knew who was on his side. He knew who his supporters were. Bring them in and then let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint Solomon as king. I think we have a very interesting picture here in verses 34 there, where it says, there let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel. You know what you have right there in verse 34? You have a rare verse which mentions in the same verse the office of prophet, priest, and king, right? What do you have there in verse 34? Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and they're going to anoint Solomon as king. Now, what's interesting is God wanted these three offices to be separate. He didn't want the prophets to be priests. Well, sometimes prophets were priests, but he didn't want one man to hold all three. In particular, priests were not to be kings, and kings were not to be priests. He wanted the three offices separate until Jesus. Jesus fulfills all three offices. He's our prophet, priest, and king. But David wanted the proclamation of Solomon as his successor to be persuasive. And so he had a plan. He said, give him my mule. Give him my own mule, he said. David's mule, you know, the official kingly mule. Give that one to him. And then he said, let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him. And then he says, blow the horn. And then he says, everybody shout out, long live King Solomon, and then let him come sit on my throne. You know what I want you to see here? David was very concerned that Solomon take his rightful place and that everybody know it, right? Now, let me apply a little spiritual principle here, right? Wouldn't you say the same is true? That Jesus is concerned that you know your spiritual place and that you come up. Matter of fact, in many ways, it would be the same thing. Jesus says, here, I will serve you. So to speak, Jesus says, you ride on my mule. Jesus says, let you be anointed, just like Solomon was anointed. Blow the horn. Let it be proclaimed that you're my child, that you're my son, that you're my daughter. And then he shall come and sit on my throne. The Bible says that we will be kings and priests with Jesus Christ. Just as much as David was concerned that Solomon take his rightful place and everybody know it, so Jesus is concerned that we take our rightful place and that other people are able to see it as well. And everybody said to that, amen. May the Lord God of my Lord the King say so too, and may he bless Solomon and make his throne great. Everybody is excited about this. Well, as you might expect, everybody but Adonijah, but we'll get to him in a few minutes. Look at verse 38 here. It says, so Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites, the Pelethites went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and took him to Gihon. Then Zadok the priest took a horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the horn. And all the people said, long live King Solomon. And all the people went up after him. And all the people played flutes and rejoiced with great joy so that the earth seemed to split with their sound. Now, it's interesting. Adonijah made his own little presidential motorcade, right? You know, his own little procession. David says, we're going to do the same thing for Solomon, except we're going to give Solomon the royal mule. Now, we read this. It's kind of funny to us, right? The royal mule. Wow, isn't that fancy? You know, I used to think it was kind of stupid. But you know what? I did a little bit of research. The mule was actually a special animal in Israel. What makes something valuable? Usually that it's rare. Right? If it's rare, then it's valuable. Do you understand that the mule was a rare animal in Israel? Because mules are a crossbreed between a horse and a donkey. Okay? That's how you get a mule. This crossbreeding was forbidden in Israel. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19 prohibits crossbreeding a horse and a donkey to make a mule. Therefore, every mule had to be imported. It was an imported mule. And that's what made it special. It was not the usual kind of animal that you would see ever go, wow, look at that imported mule that this guy's driving. You know, it was something special. And so this is what was significant about saying, hey, put him on my mule. I used to read that and think, well, that's kind of stupid. You know, what's so special about a mule? Well, they were special in Israel because you had to import them from other lands because you were not allowed to breed them within Israel. And so they went through the whole procedure. They took him to Gihon. They took the horn of oil from the tabernacle. Everybody's rejoicing. It said that the earth seemed to split with their sound. And then finally, it's good news for everybody except for Adonijah. Look at it here, starting at verse 41. We read there, now Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they were finishing eating. You can imagine how that puts, you know, sort of sort of makes the grill party dead there, doesn't it there? When everybody's in, and then they hear the shouts, long live King Solomon, across the valley echoing. Anyway, verse 41, Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they were finished eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the horn, he said, why is the city in such a noisy uproar? While he was still speaking, there came Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest. And Adonijah said to him, come in, for you're a prominent man, and bring good news. Then Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, no, our Lord, the King David, has made Solomon king. The king has sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites, the Pelethites, and they have made him ride on the king's mule. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet had anointed him king at Gihon, and they've gone up from there rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise that you have heard. Also Solomon sits on the throne of his kingdom, and moreover the king's servants have gone over to bless our Lord King David, saying, may God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and may he make his throne greater than your throne. Then the king bowed himself on the bed. Also the king said thus, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has given me one to sit on my throne this day while my eyes see it. So all the guests who were with Adonijah were afraid and arose, and each one went his way. You can just imagine. They all came for a nice dinner. They all came to support Adonijah. But while they're still at the dinner, the news comes, listen, Solomon's king, David is behind him, many of the leaders in Israel are behind him, and they just go, well, it's time for me to go, time for me to get my coat. I don't want to be associated with this Adonijah guy for 1 minute more. And so you can just imagine how terrifying this was for Adonijah. Verse 50, now Adonijah was afraid of Solomon. So he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. Do you know what that means? Okay, in the tabernacle, there was the altar, and the altar had horns at the corner of it. There was a custom in the ancient world. Now, this custom was not restricted to Israel. Matter of fact, this custom was common all over the ancient world, that a criminal could find protection by going into a temple, by going into a holy place, and grabbing onto the altar. There, the priests of that temple would protect him, okay? So Adonijah says, I am a dead man. You know, I've tried to exalt myself, and I've been caught. He runs to the tabernacle, he grabs onto the horns of the altar, and he says, I'm not leaving here. This is my protection. Now, there's something you should know, that even though this was a common practice in the ancient world, it was not according to the law of Israel. God did not say that a criminal who was a guilty criminal could find refuge in the temple or in the tabernacle. God said, you put justice on that man. It doesn't matter if he's holding onto the altar or not. But this is the thinking that Adonijah has when he goes and he takes hold of the horns of the altar there in verse 50. Now, verse 51, and it was told Solomon, saying, indeed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon. For look, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. Then Solomon said, if he proves himself a worthy man, not one hair of him shall fall to the earth. But if wickedness is found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent them to bring him down from the altar. And he came and fell down before King Solomon. And Solomon said to him, go to your house. Solomon gave Adonijah what we might call probation. He said, I know you're guilty. I know you tried to take the kingdom. And if you would have taken the kingdom, you would have executed me and my whole family without a second thought. But listen, I'm going to be merciful. You go your way. And if you conduct yourself right, you have nothing to worry about. But if you begin to plot against me, I will have you killed. Solomon not only let this potential rival live, but this man openly tried to take the kingdom away from Solomon. I want you to see something. The reign of Solomon is starting very good. On the first day that he's proclaimed king, instead of saying, off with their heads to potential enemies, he's saying, I extend to you a hand of grace and mercy. At the same time, Solomon's not stupid. He says, Adonijah, if you try any kind of rebellion against me, you're a dead man. So Adonijah knew that he had received such great mercy from him. He came and he fell down before King Solomon. And he was obviously very happy about that. Now, let's just go right into chapter 2 here, and we'll finish that up here. It says, now, the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. David here in the beginning of 1 Kings chapter 2, he's giving his final words to Solomon. And really, it's wonderful. I mean, you notice it right there in verse 2 where he says, I go the way of all the earth. I mean, this man, David, the son of Jesse, who was Israel's greatest king apart from the Messiah, he recognized that he was just a man. He said, I'm going to die just like every man who's ever walked this earth. And he says, I better give a final encouragement to Solomon. Now, if you want an expanded account of this last speech that David gave to Solomon, read 1 Chronicles 28 and 29. 1 Kings gives us the abbreviated version right here. But David says to him very plainly, if you notice here, he says, verse 2, be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. I have to say that it seems to me that David sensed some kind of weakness in Solomon. He says, you know, Solomon, you're a good man. I know you'll be a good king, but there's a weakness there. Be strong. Prove yourself a man. You're going to need strength. You're going to need courage. Solomon, you're going to face challenges, maybe challenges you don't even know about. And be obedient to the Lord. If you stay obedient to the Lord, then you will succeed in your reign. And I have to say, look at it in verse 4. Read that again because it's very impressive if you think about it. It says, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel.
Well, that concludes the teaching portion of today's broadcast of Enduring Word with Pastor David Guzik of Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara. Join us next time as Pastor David continues teaching verse by verse through the books of 1 and 2 Kings. Again, you've been listening to Enduring Word, the teaching ministry of Pastor David Guzik of Calvary Chapel in Santa Barbara, California. You can learn a great deal about Enduring Word by visiting our website. The web address is enduringword.com. That's enduringword.com. You can listen to the rest of Pastor David's messages from the books of 1 and 2 Kings, as well as many other messages taught from God's Word, all right from the main menu. Simply click on Media at enduringword.com. The best place to obtain Pastor David's teaching is through the Enduring Word podcast. Log on to enduringword.com and click on the media option and then podcast. Once you subscribe, you'll always receive the latest messages from Pastor David. Again, the website for all this information is enduringword.com. So log on to enduringword.com and continue studying with Pastor David today. If you'd like to talk with someone here at the church, call us at 805-730-1400. That's 805-730-1400. Once again, you've been listening to Enduring Word with Pastor David Guzik of Calvary Chapel in Santa Barbara, California, a listener-supported program. Please tune in next time as Pastor David continues teaching verse by verse through the books of 1 and 2 Kings. That's next time on Enduring Word.